50,000 throats roared back, Kershaw later said. I turned slightly to my right, and the great man was already standing at my shoulder, guitar in place. The applause went on and on. It came in waves, crashing over that huge stage, again and again. Glastonbury was going daft. I stepped aside to let Johnny move to the mic. For a moment, he just stood there and looked out, either in relief or disbelief. Tears were falling down those Mount Rushmore features. Tears were rolling down my face, too. Cash went on to do a 14-song set that many thought was the highlight of a festival that featured, among others, Rage Against the Machine, Elvis Costello, Peter Gabriel, the Beastie Boys, Oasis, and Radiohead. Cash would compare these and similar experiences with the way things had been when he started out. The huge standing audiences, the simple style of recording, the excitement of choosing material, the media buzz, the young people. There was no one else from the class of 55 who not only had an unbroken recording and performing career, but who was still breaking new ground. In February 1995, American Recordings won the Grammy for Best Contemporary Folk Album. The challenge facing Reuben for the next album was to create something that built on the momentum of American Recordings, but that was different. He didn't want to repeat himself by doing another acoustic album. He introduced Cash to contemporary songwriters both as a way of tuning him into the music of a new generation and of stretching him as a singer. The lyrics were always of paramount importance because given a song he identified with, regardless of who had written it, Cash had the extraordinary ability to make it his own. Hearing him sing The Beast in Me, for example, is hard to imagine that he didn't write it. He takes such command of every word. When Glenn Danzig heard Cash's version of 13, he commented, "It's his song now. I wrote it, but it's his now." There are a couple of different ways to look at Johnny Cash as a recording artist, says David Ferguson. You can make Johnny's voice and the instrument sound as one instrument, or you can take Johnny's voice and just complement it. You make the music about the voice. You color around the voice. That's basically the way Rick looks at it. Ferguson recalls, Rick got him to do songs that weren't easy for him. Sometimes he gave him songs where he was singing on a different beat than he was used to singing on. It was a little more difficult for him singing on the rock and roll feeling songs because when you sing on the beat, it's different. His whole thing all of his life was singing with that syncopation. On the first record, Johnny was basically singing Johnny songs. Then on the second album, it started to get away from that a little bit. You can tell the songs that Rick chose and the songs that Johnny chose. Cash obviously chose his own songs. Country Boy, first recorded in 1957. Mean-Eyed Cat and Meet Me in Heaven, a beautiful song based on the words of his brother Jack's headstone. He probably picked Memories Are Made of This, a hit for Dean Martin in 1956. I Never Picked Cotton, a hit for Roy Clark in 1970. Sea of Heartbreak, recorded by Don Gibson in 1961. The One Rose, recorded by Jimmy Rogers. Jeff Mack's I've Been Everywhere, a hit for Hank Snow in 1962. And Unchained by Jude Johnston, a friend of his daughter Kathy's husband, Jimmy Tittle. Reuben definitely chose Rowboat by the then up-and-coming singer Beck, featured on his 1994 album Stereo Pathetic Soul Manure. Rusty Cage from Soundgarden's 1991 album Bad Motorfinger. And Spiritual by Josh Hayden. Some of Reuben's choices were inspired. Most people could never take originals and imagine them as possibilities for Cash. Even Cash couldn't imagine himself doing Rusty Cage when he first heard the track by Soundgarden. He was also acutely sensitive to Cash's Christian worldview and picked contemporary songs that expressed aspects of the human struggle. In order to help Cash in the selection process, Reuben would record demos to show him how specific songs might sound with his interpretations. The way I picked songs for him would always be about what they said, not about the music, says Reuben. I would ask myself whether it was something I could imagine him singing and it feeling right. If he sang, "I'm gonna break this rusty cage and run," would I believe that? Yes. All the songs we ended up with resonated with who he was. They sounded like they could have been his words, with some of the less well-known songs people still often assume that he wrote them. Although the second album didn't have a conscious concept, many of the songs focused on the same themes of bondage and release, sin and redemption, that pervaded American Recordings. Songs such as Unchained, Rusty Cage, and spiritual, where pledges or prayers emphasizing the need to be set free, whereas Meet Me in Heaven was a song of hope about the world to come. Back in Cash were Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, a band that Reuben had produced in 1994 on Wildflowers and was now producing for the soundtrack of the movie She's the One. Petty played a Birds-inspired music, which acknowledged the blue-collar rock of Bob Seger and Bruce Springsteen. He toured extensively with Bob Dylan and had been part of the Traveling Wilburys with Jeff Lynne, George Harrison, Dylan, and Roy Orbison. The speed of recording was hampered by Cash's recurring medical problems. His broken jaw required repeated operations, over 30, he once said, and when he arrived in Britain in May 1995, he was only able to play one show before hurrying back home in pain. Additionally, he was suffering from an undiagnosed nervous disease that saw him stumbling, shaking, and sometimes unable to sing. Despite the illness, Cash continued to tour and record, and Unchained was released in November 1996. Entertainment Weekly called it a travelogue of Cash's sticky psyche, the repentant sinner wrestling with dark desires. Musicians said that Unchained seems such classic Cash it almost doesn't matter who's playing with him. Alternative Press reported, Cash slips on these tunes as comfortably as a black morning coat. Rolling Stone voted it number 5 in its list of the 10 best albums of 1996. Cash started 1997 optimistically, playing dates in the U.S., and then touring in Czechoslovakia, Germany, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, France, Austria, Switzerland, and England. In September, he began another tour of the country, but by this time he knew that his health was deteriorating and that he just didn't have the stamina to continue. Before a show at the Ford Theater in Washington, D.C. on September 16th, he and June called a meeting with the musicians. Everybody on the show was there, says Earl Poole Ball. He wanted to let us know that he wouldn't be able to go on forever. The idea was to reduce the number of concerts each year and retire by 2000. The end, though, came abruptly. At a concert in Flint, Michigan, on October 25th, he stumbled and almost fell as he bent down to pick up a guitar pick. He then told the audience that he was suffering from Parkinson's disease. Many of them thought he was joking, but he wasn't. It proved to be the last concert Johnny Cash ever gave. He would continue to make an occasional guest appearance, but never again would he mount a full-length concert. He had been scheduled to make a 7-city tour to promote his book, Cash the Autobiography, which he had written with country music journalist Patrick Carr, but it had to be canceled at the last minute. He thought at the time that he had Parkinson's disease and that as soon as the condition was stabilized with medication, he would resume the promotional tour. However, on October 29th, all the remaining concerts of the year were canceled when he was admitted to the hospital with a combination of pneumonia, diabetes, and nerve damage. It turned out to be his most dangerous battle yet. Cash lapsed into a coma for 12 days. His family became so anxious that June arranged for a special prayer request to be put on fan websites. What they didn't know was that for much of the time, Cash was aware of what was going on in the hospital room. He could hear people discussing his fate. "I remember things they were saying," he later said. "I couldn't respond. I couldn't wake up and tell them. I heard what you said. I'm not dying." June believed that prayer had brought Cash back from the brink of death. "There seemed to be no way to reach him," she said. "I couldn't think of anything but to pray. So we prayed, and within a matter of hours, he just started squeezing my hand." The joy was short-lived. Doctors informed Cash that he didn't have Parkinson's disease, but a rare condition known as Scheidegger's syndrome. His life expectancy was no more than 18 months.